Good evening, Calvary City Church. It's so nice to have you joining us today for our service. And I just want to ask every one of you, how have you been? It's been quite a roller coaster ride these few weeks, these few months. I'm not sure how have you been. Maybe you can type it down in the chat. Just say, hey, I'm doing great. Of course, everyone will be able to look at the chat and we can encourage one another. If you're feeling down or anything, just put it up in the chat as well. And if you want to, you can always join us for our prayer room later on after the service. We would love to pray with you. We want to stand with you in this time. And yeah, just want you to know that there will be somebody who will be praying for you. There will be somebody who cares for you. In this time that you feel maybe you're alone, you feel that you're isolated from everyone, don't worry. Just bring up anyone of the pastors or people, your cell group leaders, they will care for you. So don't be afraid, don't hesitate. If you feel that you need someone to talk to in this time, especially in this period, do call them up and just have a chat. Even nowadays, if you want to go for coffee, just go out with them, but make sure it's somewhere safe. Please wear your mask, have your distance between them. But yeah, I'm sure everyone would want to go out now and just have a cup of coffee, catch up with friends. Now is a good time to go out as well, but just be safe and just be a bit more careful. Although we are in phase 3 now, but it doesn't mean that we need to let our guard down. All right, so before I start, let me just pray and commit this time to God. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you are the one in control. We thank you of how you have been taking care of every single one of us, over our families, over our friends. And we thank you that also you have been watching over every one of us, of our family as well. I pray, God, that as we read through your word today from the book of Acts, Lord, you continue to remind us of who you are, remind us of who we are in you, and remind us of the things that you have called us to do. Pray that we will not be overwhelmed by just tasks alone, but really be overwhelmed by your glory. So we surrender this time to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be the one that speaks to every single one of us, everywhere, whenever they are watching this. Lord, your Holy Spirit is the one that ministers to every single one of them more than the words from my mouth. So I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going on from the book of Acts, and we're almost coming to the end really, almost the last part, last bit of book of Acts. Just a few more chapters to go, and we're done with the book of Acts. So let's just give each other a hand clap and say, hey, you've done it. You've gone through this whole series, but don't stop there. If you want to read through the whole book of Acts, the cell group is going through book of Acts again. Take this time to really dig deeper, study every single word of it, and make sure that as you read these words, let it inspire you, let it strengthen your faith in God more than just a book to just read through and then it's like, oh, done, put aside. I mean, most of us do that, right? When we finish reading a book, it's like, okay, I'm done, been there, done that, and then we put one side. But don't do that, okay? Go through it again and again. Let the Word of God inspire us. And today, this evening, I'll be focusing on Acts chapter 21. Just give you a bit of overview on Acts chapter 21. We're going to go through quickly all these verses, so don't worry. But please, if you can, take out your Bible because we're going to flip through and we're going to find these verses and we're going to read through it. Of course, it'll come out on the screen, but there are more portions of the scripture that you need to read through on your own to understand the context. And we're going to look through it one by one, all right? So the overview for the book Acts 21 is this, that Paul is going to Jerusalem. Paul is on this mission that has been set to go to Jerusalem. And in verse 1 to verse 16, it was the journey of Paul going towards Jerusalem. He was on the boat, he was sailing from one place to another, and in each place that he stopped, he went to meet Christians, he went to meet brothers and sisters in Christ. But on the way to Jerusalem, two times, right, people tried to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. There are things that Paul has also said in the start that certain things will happen to him in Jerusalem. And when the people heard it, they tried to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. We're going to look at two of these instances, all right? Let's look at Acts chapter 21, verse 3 to 5. And we're going to focus on verse 4. Acts chapter 21, verse 4, it says, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. The people were afraid and they were sad that Paul had to go there and what awaits him in Jerusalem. If you read through in Acts chapter 20, it says that Paul tried to say he will be imprisoned, he'll be a lot of things that will happen to him in Jerusalem, but yet he still chose to go. And the second one, this is more of like the climax of Acts chapter 21, and it shows how Paul actually went through with this. Let's read Acts chapter 21, 10 to 12. Acts chapter 21, 10 to 12, and here it says, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And verse 12, now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. If you see in verse 12, it says we and the people there. We is like Luke, who is writing the book, and probably those close with him who is traveling with Paul. Even they are trying to persuade Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. This is a prophecy from a prophet that says, you will, when you go to Jerusalem, you will be bound. You will be imprisoned. But Paul has set his sights on Jerusalem. Of course, if you read through Romans and 1 Corinthians, it tells why he was so insistent on going there. One of it was that he was bringing the offerings from all the places that he went to give to the people in Jerusalem, the people who were poor, to share with them the things, the blessings that have been taken from wherever he went to share with those in the, those poor in Jerusalem. And it doesn't just stop there. This was when Paul was on the way to Jerusalem. It goes on from there. In verse 17 to 36, we see even more things happen to Paul. When he arrived at Jerusalem, he met with the leaders and he met with James, he met with the elders of where the Pentecost had started, where the first church was built. And in Acts chapter 21 and 22, this is what it reads. And they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. This is the elders of the church telling Paul that says, hey, we have heard these things about you. And people have heard it as well. They will come after you. So even the Jewish leaders or the church leaders, elders at that time, I wouldn't say they accused him, but they have this wrong perception that, hey, this is what we have heard about you. So in order to prevent any more things from going wrong, why don't you go and do this? Go and do for purification rites. Go through 7 days. I don't know, actually know what the purification things is about, but he had to go through it in the Jewish law. Go through it 7 days and come out of it and then present himself at the temple. And Paul, willing to even take all this, although he knows it's not true. He knows that he did not teach such things. But yet, he went ahead, obeyed the leaders and followed their orders. After the whole purification thing of 7 days, it didn't stop there even. In Acts chapter 21, verse 27 to 30, more things happened. He came to the temple and all the Jews who were from, all the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, they accused him. They slandered him and said, he brought Gentiles into the temple. Again, it's wrongly accused. It's a false accusation. And that stirred up the people. they dragged him out of the temple and they started beating him. They really pulled him out and they beat him. They almost wanted to kill him. And because of this stirring that's happening, the Roman centurions heard about it and they faster come and ask, what is going on? Why is there such a big thing? And in the end, Paul was arrested by the centurion. All these things happened, and it was prophesied by this prophet Agabus. People have tried to persuade Paul, don't go. This is what awaits you in Jerusalem. But yet Paul had this really fixed mind to say, no, this is where I will go. This is where God called me. We're going to look at Paul's response. This just an overview of the things that happened in Acts chapter 21 to give you a context. What was Paul's response? We look in Acts chapter 20. We go back one chapter, Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. And it says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations awaits me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul knew he had to go, and this was his response. And when he was arrested, or when the people were trying to persuade him not to go, in Acts chapter 21, verse 13, this is what he says. Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. This was Paul's response to the things that is going to happen and the things that already happened. He had to go through all the slander, the wrong accusations, to be beaten, almost to be killed, and to be arrested. But Paul was saying, no, this is what I need to do. He stayed the course. He stayed the course. If I give a title to my message today, it's this. He stayed the course. How was he able to stay the course? Because he was sure, he knows, and he is clear what was his calling. I believe that's the only thing that kept Paul going throughout this time. That's why his response was that, I'm not willing only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem. He knew what God has called him to do. He knew where God was calling him to go. Now, when we talk about calling, it's a very big thing, and sometimes people just feel like, oh, I'm called to do this. I am called to do that. It's true. There's some truth in that you are called to do certain things. But we have to unpack that a little bit more when we talk about calling. When we said staying the course because he knows his calling, the first thing that we want to know about calling is not that it's called to do something, but it's called to be. In Paul's case, he was called to be a follower of Christ. He was called to be in a relationship with God. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 22, verse 14. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. This was his account of when he met Jesus at the road to Damascus and he got blinded. And this was Ananias, the one person that came and prayed for him. Ananias said this, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Ananias was trying to say to Paul, hey, he didn't tell Paul to just go and do this or you are called to do this, but the first part of it is you are called to be. Paul, you are called to be the one that has seen Jesus. You are called to be the one to have heard the voice from his mouth. And later on, we'll find in the next verse, we're going to look at it later on. But for now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10. This was the first account of Paul when he was going towards the road to Damascus. Oh, sorry. This was Paul himself trying to tell all the people in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." There was that transformation that happened because of his encounter with Jesus. That transformation changed him from being a person who was who he was previously, a Pharisee who persecuted the church at that time. But an encounter with Jesus changed his calling. He was called to be a follower of Christ. He was called to be in a relationship with God. And he understood that. That's why he emphasized this, that if he was an apostle, even if he's given that title of apostle, he was unworthy of it because he used to persecute the church. But by the grace of God, he is who he is. Now, I don't know, how has your journey been? Or some of you may have been watching this for the first time. I just want to know that God has called you. Every single one of you watching, every single one of you listening in, God has called you. Called you to be His follower. Called you to be in a relationship with God. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you can have a relationship with God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. You get to know this Father. You get to know this God. And this is the most important calling that every single one of us can have. If you have not known this God, I really want to encourage you later on as you partake the communion. I want you to really say, "God, You have called me, and I really want to know You more and more." This is the calling that every one of us have. Not called to do something, but called to be a being. Called to be a follower of Christ. Called to be a loving son towards Father in heaven. This is something that Paul was so sure about that he can write about it. And I believe that transformation really turned his whole being upside down, because it was like, I used to persecute this Jesus, and because of His grace, that I am changed to be called into this loving relationship with the Father. So when we are called to be a follower of Christ, but at the same time, there are other things that we are called to be. For example, in Paul's case, he was called to be a Jew. God made him a Jew. He was circumcised. He was a Pharisee, even to that point. But at the same time, he was also a Roman citizen by birth. His parents were Roman citizens, so he was born a Roman citizen. And because of that, if you read on in Acts chapter 21, the later part, and Acts chapter 22, you realize that why this is so important and why God has called him to be to be a Jew, to understand the culture, to be able to speak Hebrew, and to be also a Roman citizen who knows Greek, who can speak to the centurion and be able to tell the centurion, "Hey, I'm a Roman citizen." God has called him from birth to be able to be these things at that time. So what has God called you to be? God has called you to be His followers. What else? In this season, some of you are called to be fathers. Some of you are called to be husbands and wives. Some of you are called to be grandparents, or some of the new grandparents. God has called you to be grandparents, or another role that God has put you in. Some of you are called to be students. And because of what has God called you to be, it leads on to what has God called you to do. It's not the other way around. God didn't say, call you to do, that's why you are that person. No. God has called you to be, and because of what has God called you to be, it leads on to what God has called you to do. So in this case, my second point is called to do. First, you are called to be. Second, you are called to do. Paul saw Jesus. It changed who Paul is from a Pharisee to now a follower of Christ. And now God has given him something to do because of this transformation. In Acts chapter 22, verse 15, we go back to this verse. The first part, Ananias was saying that God has called him to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the voice of his mouth. And in verse 15, it continues to say, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. First, God called him to know Jesus. And because he has called him to be, the next part, God has called him to do, to be his witness to all men, to what you have seen and heard. The same way, if we cross-reference it to Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, this was Paul's conversion, the first time that it was written. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, this is Paul, God speaking to Ananias. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, for Paul, he is Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was called to be that person that goes and brings the message of Jesus Christ to all the Gentiles, to the kings, and even to the children of Israel. So he knew he was being called by God. And then, because of that calling to be, he was able to do. This was so real or so solid in his life, right? That in the last part of Acts 21 and 22, after being beaten, after being arrested, he was almost being brought into the prison already. He asked the centurion something. He asked the centurion, hey, can I address the people? This was the people who was trying to kill him, and he was trying to say, hey, can I address the people? And what was Paul wanting to do? Paul continued to be a witness and spoke to the people. I mean, when I read this chapter, it was just, how is Paul able to do this? And I can only think of that, yeah, his calling is so sure. His calling is for him. He knows it so well that even the people who are trying to kill him, he was still able to stand in front of them and say, hey, I was used to be like that. I used to persecute the church. But this Jesus, I met him on the road to Damascus. He changed my life. Even in that situation, he still was able to be a witness for Jesus. I mean, I really respect this Paul, that he has such really a boldness to do it, but because he knows that Jesus has called him to be and to do such things, he continued to do it in spite of the situation. I hope that every one of us catch that. In spite of the situation, the things that are going on, whether be it a good thing or a bad thing, but because you are sure of what has God called you to be and what has God called you to do, you are able to stay the course. So once again, let's ask ourselves this. Who has God called you to be in this season? And what has God called you to do based on that? You see, not everyone of us are called to be an evangelist. We always think that like, wow, I want to be like that person on the stage, going towards thousands of people, sharing the gospel, and people are being saved. Some of us are not like that. Some of us prefer to be like, I want to get to know someone. I want to really share with them, firstly, the love that I have from Christ, to share that love with them. And that's okay, because all of us are called to be followers of Christ, and the things that, the expression of that, that we are called to do may be different. And let me assure you that whatever God has called you to be and called you to do, it may not be the same as everyone else. If God inspires you to be like that evangelist, like Billy Graham, that type, then yes, pursue that. Ask God, say, God, this is who I want to be. This is who I want to impact the nations around me like that. But if not, then really ask God again. God, why are you calling me to be? What are you calling me to do? But because we are called to be a follower of Christ, the next expression of that is that we want to share this good news to those people around us. It can be the family members. It can be our friends. It can be the neighbor as well. Some of us are called to be a neighbor. And a neighbor can be just somebody that, hey, checks up on another neighbor. How are you? I know Pastor Rajan is really that kind of neighbor, because he really goes around and talks to every single neighbor that he has. And then because he grows a lot of things, he starts giving them fruits. He starts exchanging fruits with them sometimes. But that's the person that God has called him to be in this lockdown even. That he is able to be that neighbor to the people around him. And yet, in that time, called to do is to share the love of Christ, to be generous, to care for the neighbors around him. So who has God called you to be? And what has God called you to do? So I'm going to quickly end off with this. I'm going to show you a picture that will come up on the screen soon. And this picture is seen on the internet. When I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is so true. This is really, it speaks of so many different things about my life, and I'm sure about the life of a lot of people. When we think about staying the course, following what God has called us to be and to do, we think of the first picture at the top where, whoa, it's a straight line. Everything will go well. Everything is just smooth. Once I know my calling, I will be able to go smoothly until the end. But let me tell you, and also to encourage you, that is not necessarily how God has planned it for you. In order to stay the course, it's most probably be like the second picture. It goes down, it trips you over because of some rubble, and then it goes up, and then you have to throw away the bicycle and start walking on the ladder. So there are some things that you have to let go and then move on to the next one. And then go up again, and then go down again. You have a choice now in that one. You can either slide across using the pulley or you take the boat. Again, there are choices to be made. So if God has called you to be, and because of what He has called you to be, there are things that God has called you to do, stay the course. It doesn't mean it goes smoothly. But hold on to what God has called you to do and called you to be. Even in Paul's life, it was the same. Paul's dream was to share about Jesus in Rome. Since the start of it, he was like, I'm a Roman citizen. I want to reach out to the people in Rome. In Romans chapter 1, if I'm not wrong, he actually said that to the Roman people in church there, or the Jews there, and says, I long to come to you. He eventually did so, but it was not as how he was planned. He wanted to go, then there were things that God has called him to do otherwise. Second time, maybe a few times that he intended to go, but God had many things that are in store for him first before he goes to Rome. And even going to Rome, he thought he could be like a missionary, go over there, go into the synagogue and share about Jesus again, like how he always did. But it was different this time. The dream that Paul had, the calling that he had on his life, was different. He went to Rome as a prisoner. He went to Rome as a person bounded in chains. But yet, he was still called to be that witness. He got to share the life of Jesus to the kings, to the people around there, even under house arrest. He was still able to minister to people in Rome. So even for myself, as I recall this whole chapter and the things that God has called me to be and called me to do, to be honest, this past year plus, I almost felt like giving up on doing what I'm doing. So I'm actually working with a parachurch organization, but it's based in Singapore. So for 2 years, I was not able to meet my teammates. All I could do was look at them at the screen and wave and hi, like how you are looking at me now and saying hi. It's on the screen. It feels very like, after a while, it gets like very monotonous to the point that I was like, I think I want to do something different really. I even question myself that like, do I actually want to continue reaching out to athletes because there's no sports at this current time. Nobody is playing sports. There's no futsal. There's no badminton. Even all the athletes who are competing in the national level, they are in their own bubble and you can't come in contact with them. But most of all, I felt that, what's the point? I can't do anything. I questioned myself that like, what has God called me to be? What has God called me to do? But after having a few conversations and like really spontaneous conversations with friends and spending some time reflecting, I realized that it's like how the second picture, God's plan is not as how I presume it to be like smooth and easy all the way. I failed to recognize that God was calling me at this season to be a husband and a father. I was home almost 24/7 for these past 2 years. And that helped me to spend time with my wife, spend time with my daughter. And if you remember that second picture, some things, you throw away the bicycle at that time because it's a different season and God has wanted me to focus on different things in terms of what He has called me to be. And as I reflect back, I think it was really that time that God had wanted me to be a husband, to take care of my wife, and at the same time to be a father, to watch my little girl grow up for the past 2 years. It's been amazing. I enjoyed it. Although it was work-wise or ministry-wise, it was just monotonous. But yet, as I reflect back, I'm thankful that I had that time at home. And even my recent newsletter, so I send out newsletters or partners, send out like updates to the partners that I'm working with or those who support me. And my recent newsletter title was "To Stay the Course." I recognize that God is saying to be faithful in whatever that He has called me to be, and to be faithful in whatever He has called me to do in that time. So God was reminding me that, and that He is in control. He has things planned out. And I wrote that newsletter out. I sent it to all my supporters and said that, hey, I'm staying the course. I will continue in spite of how I feel. And I was holding on to what God has called me and what has God planned for me. And because of that obedience, because of that surrender, God began to see that, He knows that, okay, He has set his priorities right. He has done it. He has obeyed. Things started to open up. There were more opportunities for me to minister and to really disciple people. They may not be athletes, but they are the one who come and ask me, "Hey, can you journey with me through this time? I want to know more about how my walk with God can be relevant in my life now." And not only that, God opened up an opportunity for me to do a course that I really wanted to do for a long time. I've been wanting to do this course to kind of like improve myself, improve my skills, and to be able to help other people. And I applied for that course, not knowing where the money will come from, not knowing whether I have time. I don't know like what's going to be like next few months. But God assured me with this that when I talked to the person just said, "Oh, because in this time, this COVID season, we can't really do much, and we are giving a discount for this course." And it was a big discount, firstly, if you sign up at that point of time. So I had to pay a deposit. And then I was like, "Oh no, I have to pay a deposit." Then I went and checked my account. And lo and behold, the government gave me money under the BSH. And it was the exact same amount that I needed to pay for the deposit for the course. So I was like, "Okay, God, I can pay my deposit now. I think this is what you're opening me up for me to do, in or preparing me for the next season." But that was only deposit. The course fee I had to pay before I start. And I was like, "Oh no. Okay, I have some savings left. Maybe I'll use my savings first." And the next week, we're having a staff meeting with the whole organization, and the leaders announced this, that, "Hey, so this is what we have for this time until next year. We have this thing called a staff development fund, and every one of you staff can apply for it, and you can state what are you using it for, what's the course that you want to do, and then they will reply you how much they will give you to be able to go and develop or go and do this course." So I was like, "Okay, wow, this is another opportunity for me to go and apply for this." So I applied for it. I'm not knowing how much I can get. I just know that, okay, if I get some, good enough. If I get half of it, wow, that's really great. That helps a lot. I don't need to eat into my savings. But God has a different way of showing me that this is what He has called me to be and open up doors for me. He gave me almost like the full amount for that course. I'm not joking, like almost the full amount really to cover my whole course. And I was like, "Wow, okay, this is really the opportunity that you have given me, because I want to stay true to who God has called me to be. And because of that, I will follow what God has called me to do." So for every one of us watching in, who has God called you to be? As you read through Acts chapter 21 and 22, you understand that Paul was called to be. For yourself, who has God called you to be in this season? It may be a choice that you have to choose. But because of who has God called you to be, there is something that God has called you to do. Don't jump straight into the doing, but really make sure that you spend time understanding and really learning from God who has God called you to be, and then go on and ask God, "What do you want me to do?" So I hope this message encouraged every one of us to know that no matter how young or how old you are, God has called you. God has called you to a specific person. God has called you to a specific task that only you can accomplish. Don't forget that and stay on course. Before I move on to the last part of communion, I want all the head of the family to just prepare the communion. If you have time, go and prepare the cup and the bread. Let me pray first, and then you can go and prepare. And then we'll come back together again to have the communion. Let me pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who is watching over every one of these people on earth, those that know you, those that don't know you. And you have called all men to come to you. And it's really up to us to answer that call to be that follower of Christ. I pray, God, that every one of us will truly spend this time to know really what your calling is for our lives this season. As we have gone through the book of Acts, we've seen many characters. We've seen many people who are sure, who know who has God called them to be. And because of that, they are able to do great and marvelous things, even if it seems small at that time. But their names are written in the book. Their names are written in the Bible because of what contributions, of what that specific thing that God has called him to do. So I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.